It is 7:28 in the morning on May 9th, 2019. I had something really encouraging happen this morning. I woke up at about 4:15 and started listening to some of the recordings I've made to Persis to edit them. And while I was listening to a recording, I had to back up the recording and make an edit. So I opened up my phone, turned it on, and just as I hit the bookmark, the timer was at 5 minutes and 42 seconds. From there, my eyes went up and saw it was 5:42 in the morning. And I thought, and then all of a sudden I felt, look it up. So I started looking through the scriptures, and I came to Mark 5:42. Immediately, the girl stood up and walked around. She was 12 years old. At this, they were completely astonished. And immediately I thought, wow, God, here's another message about resurrection. This was a girl who was dead. And, you know, ignoring what they said, Jesus told the synagogue ruler, don't be afraid, just believe, tells the father. So basically, it's the Mark 5 story of, while Jesus was still speaking, some men came to the house of Jairus, the synagogue ruler. Your daughter is dead, they said. Why bother the teacher anymore? Ignoring what they said, Jesus told the synagogue ruler, don't be afraid, just believe. So obviously Jesus goes to the house, takes in Peter, James, and John, and says, Talitha cum. And this little girl raised from the dead. And as I read this, I had headphones in because I was listening to a recording, and I just said in faith, Talitha cum, Persis. Talitha cum, Persis. Talitha cum, Persis. I said it three times. I just felt led to say it, like in faith, that I know God is showing me this verse. Immediately the girl stood up and walked, that God is going to raise my wife from the dead. It's so clear, the scriptures that a few weeks ago he was leading me to, showing me resurrection, the widow's boy, and just all over the place. And so I'm just thanking God for this. And then, of course, right after that, I was getting ready to go for prayer, and I've been looking through some comments and trying to keep up with some of them in reply. And it is starting to feel more like a family on there, that there's people that are connecting and they're getting to know each other and see each other and fighting the good fight and sharing and praying for one another. And there's starting to feel like a sense from others that we're like a family who are following God. And naturally, there's this guy who showed up named Vaughn, and although he was kind, he's speaking things that are just outlandish. Another person who talks out of both sides of their mouth, where he says, on one hand, I've been a blessing to him and God has used me in some ways, and on the other hand, I have all this pride and I haven't recognized my mistake, that I chose the devil's best instead of God's best, and that I cannot see this because of my pride. And I see this, and immediately I made a 24-minute recording for this guy, just rebuking him sharply in the word and questioning and pulling out all this false ground. And he's one of those people who thinks that now he's better than the rest of us because he uses God's Hebrew name. And so I went into all that whole thing and so forth and so on. And then I just decided, no, I'm not going to do it. I deleted the recording. I'm not going to do it. I had just replied to him, I know you're sincere, you mean no harm, you know, thank you for your concern. That's it. And of course, the other Pharisees jump on his comments and they start thumbing up and they start adding in. It's amazing how they won't say it usually in the midst of everybody else, but once they find somebody who takes the lead, then they jump on board. No courage. They just want to go find, I agree with you totally. And you know what? I recognize that those people are out there by the thousands. I recognize that. And Jesus had them, but I can never lose my fascination over them. The spiritual blindness fascinates me on a level that I cannot even begin to put into words. It's remarkable. It's truly remarkable. And so it's almost like a challenge to me. Can I help that person overcome, or can I show them the light? And, you know, obviously being a minister of the Word of God and somebody who has the gift of exhortation and admonishing and rebuking sharply so they will be strong in faith, I have that hope to want to do it. But, you know, I've learned my lesson that I cannot. A million flashlights in the eyes of a blind guy does not yield any light whatsoever. Only God can open blind eyes. But he falsely prophesied in one of his comments, and he now says, you know, and God showed me that she was not the one for him, that this was the devil doing this, and the devil was attaching. So now we have a guy here who's become a prophet, who did not announce this in advance, didn't have the courage to say in advance this kind of thing, but after the fact, after I've shared the stumbling of the story, just like Jesus was mocked. I mean, this is remarkable. It's just like Jesus was mocked. Like, the guy cannot see all the miracles that were told in the story in parts 1 through 18 because now I'm on the cross. He's no different than the people who were at the foot of the cross, all squeamish, or the people who were mocking Jesus while he's on the cross and going, hey, where's his miracles now? He could save a bunch of other people, but he can't save himself. And all of the miracles of Jesus are washed away in a moment of unbelief by what they see with their eyes, Christ on the cross. It is no different in my situation now. There are those false Pharisees. There are those unbelief. There are those carnal believers coming out of the woodwork. There's not a huge amount of them. There's probably a dozen. It's not that big of a deal. There's probably more, but there's at least a dozen who are commenting. And, you know, the reason why they make a difference is because other people, young, new, vulnerable believers, read what they write, and the devil always puts a bunch of truth in and then slips in the lie. And they don't always detect it. And so it can create doubt in them. And it's always an attempt to undermine my ministry. I mean, I've read this in how many books? Satan is always trying to discredit the ministry of God. He's always trying to show up with these kind of people. And so I made this guy this strong rebuke. And again, my large motive is to help those who are weak in this. But then I decided, no, I'm not going to do it because I also see it as a distraction. That God has given me a clear task and I'm constantly trying to look out for how is it that the devil wants me to get off track, even if it's just to defend the truth, even if it's to do a good thing, but it's not what God has asked me as my top priority, then I'm being deceived in that moment. And I have learned more and more with the help of the Lord Jesus Christ, because this has been a big weakness in my area. I fight so hard for truth that it irks me so badly when people in such an arrogant way claim that they have the truth, that they are like superior, that I am the bad guy. I have this pride. And I'm going, man, God, these people don't even have any idea what my relationship with you is like. And it's remarkable. But you know what? Jesus had to pray the same things when he was alone. Lord, I did all these miracles and look, now they're walking away and they're saying I have a demon and they're not following me anymore. I mean, I have no doubt. Doesn't the Bible say he was heard while on earth? Because he offered up petitions and prayers with loud cries and he was heard because of his reverent submission. I can imagine. I mean, I'm feeling more and more what it's like to be Jesus Christ. This is surreal. And I've read this in books where men say that until you participate in the sufferings of Christ, his sufferings will not be real to you. And I'm understanding it more and more. I just see these little types and shadows, little illustrations of what Jesus Christ went through. And all throughout this marriage story, it is remarkable. It is so remarkable. For example, how when God is pleased to allow one of his servants to go through something difficult, like me having my wife removed through unbelief. She's not removed, but spiritually she's been removed, and for all practical purposes, she has been removed. But to see how quickly people forget parts 1 through 18, all the amazing miracles that God did. The devil is brilliant at feeding our spiritual amnesia. And God is brilliant at testing our memory and our faith and remembering his faithfulness. If I allow bad to happen here, will you still remember all the good or will it just wash it away? It's like how people say it only takes one negative comment to wipe away 10 good ones. It's so true. It only takes one negative suffering event to wipe away 10 miracles. Supposing I told people I had walked on water in one of those chapters. 1 through 18, if I told people, man, and let's say that really happened, that I walked on water. That's the most unbelievable miracle in the whole Bible to me. There's no chance of a coincidence. There's no chance that person could have, you know, been in a coma and came back from the dead. There's no chance they just hit their head just right and their eyes began to open and see. That one of the greatest miracles is Jesus Christ walking on the water. Supposing I said that in my testimony as part of receiving my bride, there was some place we had to go and I had to walk on water and God gave me the power to do it. And then when Persis falls into unbelief, people forget that I walked on water. This is what happened to Christ. I mean, these people saw him walking on water and then they're becoming so defeated. I don't understand this fully, why this happens to us, but it's like we have this very, very limited temporary memory with a tremendous amount of spiritual amnesia. It's like we have spiritual Alzheimer's or dementia. And we begin to forget all, like, who are you again, Jesus? Like, what did you do? And what did you tell me? I don't remember. Jesus is constantly having to say, remember, don't you remember? Don't you remember? Don't you remember? So I think I'm getting ready to get to the real windy part here where I won't be able to hear myself in this recording anymore. It's going to storm really bad the next couple of days. But yeah, this is just so remarkable to watch. And again, I'm having to be very careful to not allow the devil to distract me from my mission or from my faith and just totally trust and believe God. Help me with this wind, Lord. Totally believe God. And just keep doing what he's going to ask me to do. So right now I've wasted about 25 minutes this morning and now making this recording, which is not a waste, but I'm just going to continue on. This is a great lesson. It's like 9:51. This is why God shows me 9:51. Man, I wish these spiritually deceived fools could see what I see. I know Jesus had to have the same thoughts. Father, if they only knew what I had with you when I'm in secret on the mountain, if they only knew that you really were causing me to do these miracles, that you really are in me and I am in you. This is the cry of my heart. It's why I try so hard to get people. And you know what? Thanks be to God, Jesus Christ did the same thing. He would plead with them, believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, if not believe on the evidence of the miracles themselves. You know, do you not know me, Philip? If you had known me, you would know that I am in the Father and the Father's in me, that he who has seen me has seen the Father. It's just remarkable. And yet Jesus didn't try as hard. But then again, maybe he did. Maybe he tried even harder, but he did it with his actions by being willing to go to the cross and through the cross. He did it with his actions more than he did his words. He backed up his words with critical actions. Life-changing, game-changing, world-changing action. He went to the cross and through the cross. Hallelujah. Praise be the name of the Lord God. What an amazing adventure I'm getting to have. It's like these kind of comments from people and this kind of torment and this kind of satanic attack and how he attacks me in all kinds of ways. It's just so much further proof that the living Bible is the living true word of God, and that the living God, the true God, is the God of the Bible and the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh man, it's glorious. What an adventure. What an adventure this is. So I thank God for it. And 9:51, when the time came for Jesus to go to heaven, he proceeded resolutely to Jerusalem. And I have to do the same thing. I have to proceed resolutely. I have to proceed resolutely and make sure that I don't allow any Samaritan opposition to distract me. I have to keep going. My wife is going to come back. My wife is going to have one of the most amazing testimonies I've ever heard. I cannot figure out a way to explain to people how it is that I adore my wife, even though she's done so much pain to me. She's walked away from me. She's rebelled against me. She denies my authority. She's denied my faith. She's denied her Lord. She's rebelled against me at every turn, and yet I have this love for her. I have this love for her. Like, I understand how Jesus Christ loves the church. She is so unworthy. She's been so unfaithful. She has dishonored him. She has prostituted herself to other gods. She's prostituted herself to the world. And yet Jesus Christ loves her and continues to patiently wait for her and to pursue her. Ah, who could imagine? I have prayed many times, God, help me better to understand your love in the cross. And this is what it takes in order to do that. Oh, I cannot wait for my wife to come back from the dead. What a glorious story. And I think putting to shame all these Pharisees and naysayers is just going to be like a cherry on top. But I believe that my wife is going to have a testimony that she's going to be able to share that will impact thousands of women. That God's going to raise her up. He's shown me, he's led me to scriptures to show me he's going to raise her and bring her to repentance. He's going to bring her to repentance. He's going to open her eyes. He's going to bring her from spiritual death to spiritual life. He's allowed her to run prodigal spiritually. And soon he's going to bring her home. Thanks be to the Lord Jesus Christ.